This is 10-1 right on New Reel. I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Wednesday, Friday afternoon, the 22nd of October, 71. Channel 1 right on a new reel, and I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Friday afternoon, 22nd of October, 71. Channel 1 right, and I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Friday afternoon, the 22nd of October, 71. Channel 1 right, and I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Friday afternoon, the 22nd of October, 71. Channel 1 right, and I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Friday afternoon, the 22nd of October, 71. Channel 1 right, and I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Friday afternoon, the 22nd of October, 71. Channel 1 right, and I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Friday afternoon, the 21st of October, 71.
Know that you like okra so much. I like it good. You said, did I leave the okra in the car? Did you like
it?
Your Pepsi. And you know who it is? You?
No, I'm a guilty culprit. I was eating lunch and they'd pour me some Pepsi.
And she knew whose it was.
Well, that's all right. Is that one of them that we got last week?
Yeah, you said you couldn't, you didn't need to drink a big one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll get you one. You all have a drink, Linda?
I tell you, I'll go put another one in there. I'll go put another one up there so it'll make it cold. And you and Suzanne can share.
I drink lots of them at school. Just in cups and ice. I'm surprised you don't like squash. My husband and I grew some.
I like the Irishman. My Beth didn't like ash. I didn't like squash either. No, my father didn't like squash. But my mother did. She'd cook them and it smelled good. And we'd try to eat and we couldn't eat them. It tasted to me like a green gourd. And Pop said the same thing.
They taste like a green gourd smell.
But you know, a green gourd has a bitter. I don't know unless you cut a green one and smell it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the squash tasted me and Embo. But boy, we could put the okra away.
Oh, yeah. I guess you grew okra every year about, didn't you?
Huh?
Grow okra pretty much every year?
Well, we didn't grow it. We bought it from some farmer nearby, you know. And we had a lot of neighbors that would bring us a little big box, a basket of okra. And I'd eat fried, I'd eat it boiled. And that's where Papa liked it most of the time, boiled, you know, and just take it by the stem. And of course, there wasn't no company around. We got to go down the Red Lane.
Stem and all?
No, we'd hold the stem. And when I was up at Callahan here, a while back then, since I come out of the hospital, my niece had some okra growing, and she, Rosita said, told before we got up there, says, now Barbara says, won't you save all the okra now, the tender pods, don't let it get too hard. Why don't you save it so we can fix some for you and Aunt Pearl. Or your Aunt Pearl, they all call me Aunt Pearl, you know. You don't put the Aunt Annie to it. And one of her sons, the youngest one, he always called me Aunt Pearl because he thought they called me Annie Pearl when they were saying Aunt Pearl, you know. And leaving the Annie off. She told me one day, she says, Leslie, says, now listen, says she is your aunt. Well, you all call her Annie Pearl. And she says, no, says we call her Aunt Pearl. Now, one time before she can get broke and call me Annie Pearl.
It does sound a lot of love.
But he couldn't understand why the three had to come together. She'd call me Annie Pearl. The rest of the children would say, Aunt Pearl. And he talked about his mama, he'd call him by full name, you know.
Uh-huh. And it's a little too much to say Aunt Annie Pearl.
And hard to get all of you in that again. But I've got one nephew that calls me Aunt Annie Pearl. And sometimes you forget to say Aunt Pearl. No, he'll leave Pearl off his thing, then. And he'd,
hold your hands up. What do you do for that?
When he gets strangled. I don't know. Layman gets coughing sometimes and strangles the bed till Margaret has to knock him in the back. You're like, you're knocking him back. You know, they're going to choke to death.
You know, Miss Jenny, those cassava roots, they look like sweet potatoes in the color. Mm-hmm. They don't taste anything like sweet potatoes?
No, we have baked them, the roots, and eat them. And we have cooked them like ash potatoes and eat it. And made puddings mostly out of grated, you know, and you can get it grated fine and let the, like Margaret was talking about making starch, you know. We run short of starch. We grate up a good bit of that, cassava root and wash it. Let the water run through the pulpy part of it, you know. Well, if you run water through it so much and got all that milk out of the out of the root, but then you just let it, throw that out to the chickens or the hogs and let your water stand. Drain your water off. Sometime I've had that thick in a pan where the milk had come out of that cassava root. And then I take and put it out on a, spread it out on a paper and let it dry. And it's just like picking up loose starch or flour.
Now that's also the part you eat.
Yes, ma'am. Let that milk stay in it when you're going to eat it. That helps to keep your pulp part of it soft. So you put sugar, eggs, milk, flavor in it. Boy, it's something. Put it in a big pan, you know. And you put butter in it, too. I have cooked them where they'd be that thick.
Hmm.
Well, you've seen the pan that
I've
cooked them.
Just for those like three roots? No,
I don't think
it'd be more than
that. They wouldn't hardly make that much, but I'm going to see if I can't choke them in the ocean and fixing it up tomorrow. And then, that's when I told Mark to bed, and I bought the wheat till I got back, because I'm afraid she'll cut up too much.
Oh.
She won't get enough off. Uh-huh. You see, there's a little brown skin around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another skin, you get that, just split it down, they can pull it off. And then there's the rest of it that we got through. It's just grated and it's really tiny. Core like a apple, pear, anything like that. You know. I have grated them up to when there wouldn't be no inside cores to them.
But you try to leave that core out? Well, you just had them around the house or...
My husband used to grow that patch, little field, you know, on the south side of the house there.
Mm-hmm.
He's had it from the road clear back down cassava.
Hmm.
And one time he had brother, yeah, Margaret got married. He had cassava out back of the house, all back down when the first fence goes that way, east and west, and north and south, you see. Well, he had it growing, of course the rose was growing east and west. And he's had it from the just did leave us room enough to go in and out of the back fence and a little space down where we could get down to the Johnny, as they call it, the White House. And lots of them called it Ponderoga or something like that.
And he just grew a patch.
Yes, he always had a big bunch of hogs. And him and Jim together, they'd plant cassava. And when it got ripe for digging, they'd feed to the hogs. Almost had to keep the fence peg down there where it's all around, keep the hogs from getting in there rooting. Until they got ready for them to go in and root. And then when Frank was gonna get ready, well, before cold spell come and frost anything fell on the stalks, he'd go out and he'd cut him down maybe three or four rows and take them limbs, stalks, and send them up like you're taking a limb and going to make a brush out of it. So take and put it down. Or he'd pile over, and when he got ready to bed it like he would his sugar cane seed, he'd dig him out of a trench and get cane fodder put down in there. And he'd break them limbs off and lay them down in there, you know, so he got his amount of cassava seed saved. And the same way with his sugar cane seed, he always bedded the sugar cane seed down, seed next year, and then he
then just let the hogs in there in the field with the cassava.
Mm-hmm.
And you never had to buy the seed.
No, you always kept a bank of cassava seed. And a lot of people come to them for cane seed because it just went too late and let cold kick the cane seed. And he was a good neighbor, good friend, and a handyman to everybody. Most especially with the cassava seed and cane seed.
Well, and he'd have to catch that just right, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He'd have to catch it just right, not too long before a frost.
Mm-hmm. And then when he goes to plant it in the spring, he cuts it into pieces about that long.
Oh.
And then he'll open up his ground where he's going to plant it mm-hmm. next year or another.
Oh, I thought I heard somebody. Good afternoon.
How are you? And I'm experimenting on farming now.
You started talking about those old long potato-like things one time. What were they called?
That was cassava.
Cassava, yeah.
She's just been telling us.
Oh, yeah.
They've seen the roots of it down at the house that we got from a colored family down below the store. Then.
I want to see that. I never seen that.
What was funny about it, the colored woman says, the Craig says, says, you know how this cassava grows, don't you? You ever seen any cassava before? Frankie looked at it like, seen any before?
Hmm.
And her husband spoke up and said, woman, what you talking about? Said, that boy growed up under cassava. And he says, yes, I can remember as far back as I can remember, my daddy planted cassava.
Well, did everybody plant it there in the neighborhood, or just depend on y'all?
Well, a lot of them planted it. But they were too darn lazy to save the seed, let the cold get it.
Oh.
Run to Frank and Mr. Frank and Mr. Chitty and get the seed.
Well, let me see now. If I can place any of them around there, I wouldn't know any of them, would I?
No, unless you heard other people speak of them.
Uncle Red, I've heard you talk to him.
Excuse me. Well, I don't want any damn stuff growing on my place. I excused myself now while you use those words.
You mean he come right out with it?
Mm-hmm. He didn't miss it.
You had some right potent neighbors there, didn't you?
I had some pretty rough talking neighbors too. They didn't care what they said, no, before either.
Yeah.
But I think the old fellow's been in the rough so many times that lately, maybe he won't be quite so dirty talking, using his profanity.
But he let you hear from him then.
Oh, back them days and times, he was young. He didn't think anybody. He'd been in the war. He'd fought a war. With the Germans and all over, and come home and have much of a. I think maybe he got some, what do you call it? Shrapnel or something in his.
Yeah.
One of his hands. No, I'm not going to be positive, but I know one of his hands or arms was crippled up when he come home.
Yeah. But that didn't slow him down too much in his. Talking anyhow.
No, sir. I think when you get good and mad, you'd be kind of like a German that didn't know how to speak English.
Oh, you mean he really cut loose?
Yes, he cut it loose. And that's where he's married.
Yeah.
He didn't get... I'm not... How long him and the Sirens been married?
But she's one of... She's his third wife.
She's his first wife. And probably it'll be his only one.
Oh, you mean she goes way back then, to then?
Well, she ain't no young woman herself. And he ain't but a year older than I am.
Well, she's had to put up with that all that time then, hasn't she?
A few years, not many.
Yeah.
I imagine more of them since they got married than she did before she married him. No, she'd never been married before, and he hadn't either.
Oh.
Yeah.
As the Irishman says, they were both getting pretty out in the marriage.
Oh, really?
You know what I meant?
Like you?
Getting old.
Was you getting old when you married?
Oh, I don't know then, you see. I wasn't quite...
You're 21?
No, I wasn't quite 22.
You weren't quite 22? Was that old?
Might have been then, but ain't now.
Yeah. But she'd never been used to that sort of talk.
I don't know what kind of talk her daddy done. I don't know what kind of talking old man John Sapp done, but she was a Sapp and he was a Dantzler. I used to call him Mr. Dantzler, you know. And finally I got the word calling Mr. Damstiller.
To his face?
Anyway, I won't. And sometimes I said, Fred, you better run. I said, I think anybody here older than I am. Maybe a little bit taller. Maybe a little bit stouter. But I'd be rather to lay him out. Yeah, all life did. I don't know, somehow I know, I wouldn't call him that to his face, I understand, but I said, oh, you mean, that's Mr. Damstiller. Well, like I couldn't pronounce it, you know. Huh?
But it probably got back to him.
And I was really one thing that he could say about me, and that my name wasn't much, couldn't be murdered up much more than his. And I reckon they thought too that it could be. I ain't gonna give you none of my drink neither.
Haven't got much to give.
I stole it from her.
Well, I see. I live before my time. Is past my time. I ought to have been back there. You know, I was grown up too back there, but I didn't know anybody like that. As the fellow says, I'm no spring chicken, you know.
And my husband was 46 years old. In September before we were married in October.
But he never sassed Uncle Rhett.
Mm-hmm. As long as he did, but if Uncle Rhett said anything to him he didn't like, he let him know which side of the fence he was on.
He did.
And we all... I don't know how long my time is, but we all used to make more fun of that poor man. He's one, you know, I told you that. He was working for Cunchala Gray. He was living down Cunchala Gray's house and where Miss Johnson was living. Now only she's had it done a little more fancy and up to date. And he and his wife lived down there, and she played the piano or the organ, whichever one they called for to be played on. And Colonel Mary Gray played the organ most of the time, and Miss Dancer played Yeah. So finally the organ got to where it wouldn't play, and she says, "Well, Irene," she says, "you know more about that music box over there than I do, so you just keep that under your hands."
Oh. Well.
And come here again, and just dance with you, and they'd be talking about Miss Irene, and say, "Well, I tell you, Miss Gray," says, "I just wish Rick would drive cows home, son," says, "and he'd be along here directly." Camille says, "Well," says, "I guess there's one thing about it," says, "I can whang whang away on the organ, and you can bang bang away on the piano. Maybe we'll drown out his music outside."
You mean, now that actually happened, Miss Kitty. Now that's Miss Irene. That's Charlie Gray's wife? That's Uncle Red's wife.
Charlie Gray's wife was Mary.
Mary. Now you told me that.
Mary Gray.
Mary Gray.
Red and Irene was living good in Charlie's house at the time, but after Mary died, why, couldn't Charlie move around and got back in his house, his property, you know, whenever he had anybody working for him. Put him in his house over there by his store. His store that was there is down at the crossroads now. Down,
yeah.
Johnson's Grocery, they call it now. Of course, after he died, the Johnsons bought it. And all of his land, as far as that's concerned.
Who was the Johnsons working for Uncle Charlie?
Who?
The Johnsons didn't work for Uncle Charlie.
Hmm?
No.
No, he bought Cousin Charlie's property after Cousin Charlie died.
After he died. But did he live around in there?
Who?
Mr. Johnson.
He lived down there in the bottom, way down below us, way down below Willie.
Yeah.
Coming, going towards making open. You know which way you're going when you're out there.
What bottom is the out there?
Bottom? Man, there's a lot of bottoms out there.
Well, it looks like all high ground to me.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been from the, where to start at? But anyway, you know where we live? You're that road. Come back this way. Coming back, like we're coming back to your house.
Yeah.
Well, it keeps going. Well, it don't go, it just stays there, but of course it leads you into
Macon. Yeah. Down through the bottom.
And right down, well, you know the road goes out to Willis.
Yeah.
Well, this way going to Willis. Well, his way going to make it up.
Yeah.
And O'Kella, we always said O'Kella make it up the road. Well, right up on that corner up there is, used to be Carrier's place, but he sold it. And over on this side, before you get down to Carrier's, back up here on the hill, like, is that was Bill Baldwin's place. And I think he sold it to somebody, I don't know. But anyway, down, you come on down this way, like you turn, come this way, like you're going to make a nookie. Well, down here, I always said at the bottom, there was a frame, block frame or what, but I know it was a frame house down there, and they had barns down there. And ain't nobody tried to do anything to the old house, and it's just sitting there trying to fall down or something.
You mean it's still there?
Part of it. And that is where the Johnsons first settled that close to Flemington.
Yeah.
They were kind of in between Flemington and Shiloh.
Yeah.
But up on that hill where that big new house built up on the hill, like, you know, going towards Willis.
Yeah.
There used to be a big two-story building a little further back up on the hill, pecan trees, I reckon camphor trees, I don't know. And that's where my youngest sister lived after she and her husband run away and got married.
Oh, really?
And talking about my sister-in-law.
Yes.
Well, let's see. April, May, June, July. She and my brother, she was Lizzie Lois Feaster, and she and my brother, they just rode off on the 4th of July one time and got married. They didn't call it running away, they just
walked off.
Just didn't let nobody know what to do. Come back, she told them she was Miss Dixon instead of Miss Feaster. But they say her grandfather, old man Jim Mixon, was that way, Maxley, is that we told him? And then he used to sit upstairs on the stair steps at night when his girls was out. And if they wasn't back in at a certain time, boy, he was ready to use that shotgun. And then he'd come in. And who was it? Oh, this was when they were going to serenade Eddie and Lizzie, you know, my brother and his wife. They lived in a big two-story building up there, too. Not close to us, but down there, called Shiloh. And the night they were going to serenade them, they didn't know just exactly how all the fences run there. They hadn't investigated to see how they were going to have to run when old man Feaster got out. Some of them got into the chicken yard and couldn't get out. And Eddie and Lizzie was upstairs laughing at all the fun.
It wasn't too easy to get
off. The old man Jake Feaster got out. All right, get out from there and shot the gun up in there. All running around. I couldn't get nowhere but in the chicken yard, like the old man's chicken yard.
Poor man.
And some of them said they couldn't find a way out. And they couldn't climb over it. It was too, you know, too flimsy. And they got around, huddled around in places where they could, they'd get things quieted down enough that they could sneak out, you know. Sneak out and go out the gate. Didn't know how they got in there, but find a way. I don't know who all it was, but it just said him and Lizzie. Well, just, and well, her brothers was into it too, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they were smart enough that they didn't they didn't get in the chicken yard.
But now, old man Feaster, he had them going there.
He was just going to let them know he wasn't going to take his daughter and her husband out. Initiate them, huh? Then they'd take them out sometimes, take them out and almost strip the girls and boys, you know, men. And then leave them to walk home with highway and die home. Mr. Feaster told him to, and he wasn't a man of profane talk, but he was a long, soft-talking fellow. And old man Jim Mixon, let me see, which one of his girls was it? But he didn't want none of them going out, you know, and be out meeting. I'd go to a party, and they had to be back home at a certain time.
Yeah.
Grown women now, mind you. Boy, I said he could puff and blow equal to a mad bull when he got mad.
Oh.
But yeah. I know it wasn't Miss Feaster because her name was Lula. That was Liz's mother. And what the flower? I used to know all of them women's names, but I can't think of them now. But anyway, it was one of his girls, and it seems if she was the oldest of the girls, and she went out that night, and she didn't come back in. They run off and got married. That old man just sat up there and reared, snorted, and blowed, and bellowed. And cursed and went on. And so some of them said, well, Pa, it ain't no use doing all that. Says we knew all the time what she was going to do and when she was going to do.
They all knew but him.
Oh, well, you don't know why the so-and-so. They didn't tell him beforehand. But he didn't want so-and-so man, that so-and-so. And he ain't worth a so-and-so.
Yeah.
And anyway, a few days, they come driving back up in the horse and buggy, you know.
Yeah.
And so the man, Jim, was still pretty mad at him. Told him, guess he oughtn't to let her go in the house anymore. Just go in there and let some of them throw things out to her. That then a man or a gentleman and all worthy of you, he'd have come and asked me for you. Says, well, Pa, we knew you wouldn't give in. You ought to keep us here. Back them days and time, they didn't have to have too many white or colored hands, you know. Well, them gals had to get out there with the bunnets and the gloves and the long tail coat. Dragging on the ground, so didn't take a string tied up. Rogan shoes or that hole. Plant the crop, clean the crop. And I don't know if some of the girls didn't take hold and maybe plow some. They said he was rough on his wife. Well, I don't know how long she lived, but I used to know just how many she was Miss Feaster. I used to know just exactly how many girls was it.
But
he married twice, and his last wife, she died before he did. They said he was too darn mean to die.
Yeah. Well, he really could handle them then and get the work out of them.
Work them to death and didn't care whether they went to church on Sunday or not. Some had to do the house cleaning, some had to do the cooking, some had to do the washing, some had to do the ironing. And
he must have that old flock of girls.
Yeah.
Well, there was, I'm trying to think how many there was. I know Miss Lula and Bowler and Estelle
Let me see. Now, you have been over there and seen them working?
No, sir. This was before I ever come up in Marin County. All these other, these three or four girls was done off housekeeping, raising their own family when I come up here.
Well, that's far ahead of you.
And then there was...
Well, how'd you...
I've seen them all, but I don't know much about them. I'm just going by what I heard said.
Well, how'd you find out what about all that?
Well, from the kin people. Now you take Uncle Jim. Now he was mean to his family, worked the boys to death and worked the girls to death, and so from year one of them had to run away and get married. But I don't know whether Liz's mother run away or not and got married, but
Well, you'd hear the girls talk.
I heard Miss Feaster talk about her daddy treated them, and heard Miss Gladney talk about her. And I've heard the men's wives, or sisters to these girls, talk. Now, Mr. Furman Smoke, Harry Smoke's father,
yeah.
And let's see, what was Gilbert Mixon, married Arnie Smoke, Mr. Smoke's oldest girl. And he had Arnie and one named Leo and Carrie. He had three girls. Well, he always consented for them girls to get married, you know, at some time. He knew when Arnie married,
You got him, Arnie?
Gilbert.
Come on in, sit down.
When Gilbert married Arnie, he always...
Here you go.
Where is
he? Running all you.
Yeah, put a chair. This is Miss Chitty, Mr.
Yeah,
Cook.
I met her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is something I never knew about. These girls had grown up before. They're the head of Miss Chitty out there in her neighborhood, though. Across the bottom. I don't know what that neighborhood over there. What neighborhood is that?
They were in the Shiloh and Waukehootie section.
Yeah. It's a little ways over there from where she lives.
A good many miles to walk, so she had to walk them.
Yeah, if you had to walk them. Yeah. Now that's Max's daddy. He had them girls, old man Jim.
Old man Jim Mixon. And Time cousin Joe Matthews was buried, Mr. John Feaster. What do you call it when the Masonic takes over, what do they call that? Anyway, he done what the Masonic had to do over burial.
Yeah.
And old man Jim Feaster Jim Mixon at that time was blind. But he could recognize voices. And Maxie, I remember that well because I was, you know, I heard it all. It's no hearsay. I seen it and heard it. And we was all standing on that side, and he was over here, and he was leaning up against a pine tree. Maxie was standing there pretty close to him. He was long talking, so he said, Maxie. Hush, Pa. Hush. Maxie. Pa, say hush. Max, ain't that old John Feaster? And I just got everybody up. I turned and walked off. He just turned and walked off. Next girl, and made him say, "Sam, you boy, Sam, be quiet, be quiet." I said, "I'm so drunk, sister." "Yes, boy, and be quiet."
You was there and heard it.
And seen it.
Well,
I had turned my back and started walking. I just felt like I'd die if I couldn't. But as I got away, it wasn't funny.
You all just had everything going on. Just one thing
and
after another.
Cousin Joe is buried at what they call a Mac Fall Cemetery out there between Flemings and Williston.
Yeah.
And the Matthews and Matthews, maybe some chitties in a long curl fin, but it's wide in. And Edwards's.
But Max's daddy, he's the one. Old man Jim Mason, he's the one. He had them daughters.
I think he had 3 daughters by his first wife and 2 sons.
And they had to run off to get married because he wanted them there to work the cucumbers. And they had to go out there in the high top shoes.
Yes, sir. High top shoes, long tail dresses, and bonnets.
Yeah. And when they went out at night, he sat out there waiting for them with a shotgun.
Waiting for them to come in. Wasn't in at a certain time. He had that old gun ready. And one of them went off one night and they didn't know where she didn't run off. She just went off. And she didn't come in. I think they said he sat up there pretty near all night waiting for her to come in. And she didn't come in. But way later on, she got him word somehow that she and this man done got married. And he said he liked to the house.
Yep.
I had like Frank last night.
Hmm?
That boy of mine, he went to the ball game last night. His mama gave him orders to be home at 10:30. 10:30 come, no Frank. 11:30 come, no Frank.
Yeah.
12:30 come, no Frank. 1:30 come, still no Frank.
Good Lord.
2:15, he comes sneaking in the back door.
2:15.
And the trouble with this old man, he had all the doors and the windows to be locked and all, you know, except the front door, and he was upstairs. I said, no.
On the porch, veranda?
No, you're sitting up on the, where it like go up steps this way, then you have to go back.
Landing.
As many times as I walked up and down and stopped on the landing in my house before it burned.
And that's where he sat with his gun.
Now,
that's what they tell on him. I don't know anything about that. I've heard my sister-in-law's mother tell that. And I've heard others tell. And he had a brother that he had a son that lived in Ocala for years. And they've got boys there now. They were in a big garage business, I believe. Job Mixon and his boys, I think. They run a business and a garage connection to it too, I think.
Old man Feaster didn't want them to get them girls, that couple out there on their honeymoon out there, and work them over.
He didn't want them initiating his daughter and son-in-law. They didn't tell him what they were going to do. Nobody knew anything about it. Well, they were both of age, and I suppose his mixing girls was too. They went to Ocala, on the 4th of July, and they got married. They come back and told what they've done. But it spread it like wildfire, the young folks.
Yeah.
But as I said, it sure tickled him.
The word get around.
The old man got them all around the chicken yard.
Now, you have heard of them getting them out of there on that honeymoon and working them over. You've heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of Mr. Jeffries says a bunch of them get his girls out and half strip them and beat son-in-laws and all up. No.
Yeah.
Well, now, that was cruel and mean. That was a making healthy bunch that was coming out and doing that all, too.
Oh.
Making no beer was a rough around about place then.
No, I didn't know that. I thought it was all cultivated people lived in making no beer.
It's a one cultivated one day, yeah.
Oh, really?
So it wasn't the neighbors that done that.
Well, her brothers started it out, but they didn't mean to get it so rough and all. And got all of them tangled up in Daddy's chicken.
Yeah.
And the mother was ranting at them about running their chickens off the place.
Why,
wonder if he was in his bunch at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wondered a while ago what happened to the chickens with all them people out there.
See, I was wondering if he happened to be one of the younger ones in it.
No, not
he's,
that bunch.
If there's any meanness on, he'd know about it.
Not in this neighborhood, but I'll tell you, in other neighborhoods, I've sure done my part of it.
Did you ever hear that?
What's that?
Getting the newlyweds out and working
well,
them over?
I've carried them in a tub and rode them on a rail of men.
Newlyweds? Newlyweds?
Well, hey, you been kidding. You knew he'd done that.
Why, Cookie, you never know. The way he's looking, he's been in it one time or another. Well, now, it's no story, is it?
No, that's true.
Heck, far,
thank the talk man, they were rolling me on the rail, too. Old man Jeffrey says, I ain't, he didn't hear no profanity. He says, there ain't no bunch gonna come in and take my daughter and her husband out and take them off out yonder somewhere and leave her half stripped and beat him up. No. When you boom, that old gun up there, there was just a scattering hand, the biggest post in his body. I said, didn't know the place much. I did the chicken yard and had the chickens going everywhere.
And that's something making up a bunch that got in the chicken yard. They just didn't know the place.
They knew it well enough, but they didn't know what they were getting into when they went into that chicken.
Well, that neighborhood over there, that Washahootie neighborhood in the city,
was that was shallow.
Shallow neighborhood. That was
shallow section. Washahootie is further back over. And Flemington, a little further down south.
Well, that was a little rougher neighborhood than your neighborhood.
Well, there wasn't any young people around there to be getting married to be road drug out.
Oh. Oh, there wasn't.
Well, my young ones, but they didn't. They always got in these other tangles back up in the other communities back up there, but they never did have them down there.
Oh, that's better to go off in somebody else's.
Is that right, Cookie?
Community.
You don't want to stay too close to home.
Let's change the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I don't know, I may be trampling on somebody's ground now.
Oh, you think so?
I'm not from down here. Don't worry about me. I'm not from Florida.
I
was born and raised in West Virginia. I've been all my
life. I know, that's where you've been living. Making up it?
No.
Well, now, I haven't been a Floridian all of my life. Although I wasn't quite 18 when I come to Florida.
Oh, you was that old when you got here?
I come to Florida in 1910, in January.
Yeah, but you was so young, you didn't remember much about where you come from.
So young? Man, I was pretty young. Southern part of Georgia.
But you don't remember anything about up there.
Well, I remember horror. I remember even going to Alabama with Mama. My mother was from Alabama. My father was Georgia. So I have a little mixture of all.
Well, that's nice. Yeah.
Man, I ain't been here no 79 years, not no little something.
Well?
I made a mistake Sunday and we had some old friends of Frankie's, or an old friend of his and his wife come in. Jack Willis over at Williston come in there Sunday evening. And he,
I'll be around.
They were talking around
I'm
about
the trailer.
And how I come to do it, I don't know how to do it. I'm 97. Frankie said, hold up, Mom, you're just getting a little bit too old. I said, he said, you may be 79, but you ain't. I said, oh, I said, I'll say 97. He said, you know, went back, oh, yes, back, say, yeah. Like I just starting in my first, say 71 or something like that. Grandma, how will you be your next birthday? Oh, I'll be 17. You see, that's where I got my sister.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I forgot to change my number for.
I thought it was. You were 18 when you came down here?
Mm-hmm. Would have been the 21st of March.
Mm-hmm.
We left up there the 4th of January, 1910.
He's done
a little bit now. And 18th birthday was the 21st of March. That's what comes down.
Yes, sir. You got everything you need?
I think so.
I just thought you might be short of Pepsi or something like that.
Well, we have to get another Pepsi pretty soon, as soon as it gets cold. Yes, sir. Well, I got to check and see what's happened to that Oakley that I bought. I think I left it down. If I left it, it's still there.
I don't feel like I eat it.
Well, I know you can't eat it now, but yeah, I thought you could take it home with you.
I don't feel slick like I
Oh, I see. Yeah, I bet you did eat it.
Now.
I missed that completely. You got me, Miss Chitty.
That you didn't know what you done with the okra you bought. And come on, I go, well, I didn't feel like I'd eat it.
Slick.
Miss Chitty, now, you see, you all, Mr. Feaster, Mr. Jim Mason, all had that troubles back then.
They did. I didn't.
Yes.
I just heard about it in later years.
Yeah. But you didn't, you all didn't worry yourselves. Or fuss. There wasn't so much fussing going on.
Oh, no. Lot of, worrying all around, and the parents of the sons back in that day and time, the peers and parties, and I don't know, all them the old people to me. You know, Jim married Cecil Pardee's mother.
Yeah, that surprised me. And they stayed married 6 weeks.
Well, they stayed married about 2 months.
Two months.
Maybe a little. They're both dead and gone. But Jim would tickle us when we went over to this to must try that it right across the woods from us over down the Wilson Road. And the weather was getting kind of cool, and Essex was like, it's like a drop in a nut, you know, when it's cool weather. But yeah. I just went down and I dropped a nut, I could stretch out. Cramp catching me soon, my legs out straight now.
Yeah.
But she'd draw right up in a knot. And Jim said yes when I said, this is this. And he's feeling around the foot. He says, where's your feet? Says, it ain't none of your business. I still got them on the body. It ain't none of your business. Where are they at? I said, well, why don't you straighten out? You'll get warm if you straighten out. She said, you better leave me alone if you don't have to get up off the floor. Says, I ain't in bed yet. In the bed, don't not cover over. Then he got to tease about drawing his feet up. Says, well, here you. Says, yes, says, I feel your toes up there. Knuckles of the fingers, maybe. And I said, says, I feel your toes up here around your ears. The stick, boom, boom.
Oh, and
from that, and on that, I had to get another bed. Says, you ready to go sleep in bed with him? Gonna get a bed in the